Blog Talk Radio. turn that down. Well, greetings, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones. And this is Brother Steph coming at you with another episode of truth, enlightenment. And we pray and hope that the Most High speak tonight as we observe one of the holiest days given unto man, and that is, I should say holiest days, plural, and that is the feast days that the Most High has given his people, Israel. Now, of course, I know that the Messiah have come, and now the Father seeks those that seek him by spirit, and we have to acknowledge spiritual Israel as well. So how's everybody doing tonight? Hopefully well. Hopefully you had a productive day. Hopefully you had a, I'm just hoping that you was able to glorify the Father with your life some kind of way today. I must admit to y'all, I am feeling a little under the weather. I got a serious toothache, and I should have canceled this show. I really should cancel this show. But we do have a brother that's going to be a guest tonight, and he is going to have to carry a lot of the weight tonight because Brother Seth just is not feeling good. So y'all be in prayer about this too. All things are possible to him that believe. Okay, but I am not going to lie. This tooth is kicking my butt. I've done everything I can think of to stop it. So Bible says, whatsoever we'll believe, when we touch and agree, we shall receive. So I just need y'all to just agree with me in prayer that this tooth will cease to dominate my mind, because right now it is dominating my mind. Well, tonight, like I said, tonight is supposed to be a celebration. And when you know it, I'm fighting this toothache. But nevertheless, we're going to try to pull through. I'm waiting on the host to call and take the show over, really. Or else we really will have to cancel it. So if y'all see me going to a lot of breaks, it's probably because I'm in pain. My tooth is really, really bothering me. So let's do this. Tonight we're going to be talking about, obviously, the feast days that are upon us. And I know we celebrate at different dates and times. I know I don't even want to get into that argument. I know how we are on different paths with regards to it. Let me do this. I think I see my brother, Gabriel. I'm going to lean on him a little bit tonight. I know he's calling just to listen in, but I actually want to hear his take on the feast days before this other brother comes. Brother Gabriel, I know you can raise your hand, but like I said, I'm suffering from a toothache, my brother, and I'm just looking to reach out to you. Get your take on what you feel about the feast day, and when do you guys celebrate the Passover as well as the Feast of Unleavened Bread?
Hello, are you hearing?
I heard you. Go right ahead. My question was, when do y'all celebrate the... First of all, how you doing, my brother?
I'm blessed. How about yourself?
Like I said, I'm sorry.
Outside of your toothache, how's the world treating you?
Other than that, it's doing all right. But do me a favor. I'm going to try to take some medicine in between comments. But right now, I want you to let me know, what do you think about, when do y'all celebrate the Passover?
Well, from my understanding, if you count 14 days after the new moon was full dark moon. So the new moon started on the 20th, so the 4th was the Passover, and today is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Sundown yesterday was the beginning of Passover.
Yeah, that is true. That is what I've come across as well. Now, brother that's on tonight, brother Terry, he is on the same vein with that, but I don't want to too much tonight focus on when it is, because then the show will turn into a debate, because I know the children of the Israelites in Dimona in Israel, they actually observe it on the 7th, and I would love to have one of them on. I could have had them on. I mean, it's very easy to get them on. I know a lot of them, but I just, you know, I have a lot on my plate, you know, with your working and all. It's hard to pull these shows together sometimes. But I was determined to do it with this show. I was determined to make this thing happen. So this is what we got. But you said that You said it right, 14 days after the New Year's, and yesterday would have been the beginning. So what do y'all do? Just kind of let everybody know. This is not our guest. This is just a friend of mine that calls the show a lot, and I'm just having him to fill in some blanks so y'all can actually get a different perspective before the guests arrive. The guest lives in Cincinnati, Ohio. We used to have a Bible study via the phone, kind of like we're doing right now. And this brother means a lot to me, Brother Terry. He's going to be calling a little bit. But in the meantime, I'm just picking on Brother Gabriel, so to speak, picking his brains. And he is on point with when the Passover is and when the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts. For those of everybody listening, this is their first time hearing this, you want to kind of give them an intro to what you have come to understand the Passover to mean and the Feast of Unleavened and the importance of keeping it in 2012. I know that's a loaded question, but why don't you start with the importance of keeping it? Why in the world should we be worried about keeping some ancient in this culture that we live in today? It seems like it's out of place when you say to some people.
Well, my understanding of the scriptures, the Most High laid out three high holy periods. I won't say holy days, but periods, because each one of them is more than a day. So the first one is Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is an eight-day feast. So first of all, if you so-called are a true follower of the Most High and spirit and the truth, he laid out three feast days. So, yes, I believe. And first of all, the first Passover is what everybody should know when in Egypt. But the reason why first of all, he said it should be forever. When it was, you know, for all your generations in action, when your children actually tell them the story. Long story short, when Christ was sacrificed, he was the Passover. He was the lamb without blemish, you dig? But he was the last sacrifice. So when we celebrate the Passover, it's actually celebrating Christ. You know what I'm saying? So if we follow Christ, we should follow the Passover, not Easter. If you got any understanding, you know Easter is pagan. Easter ain't even proper because it's always following the Sunday. It's not I'm going to leave that alone. Long story short, Feast of Unleavened Bread is for, I forget, my brain is moving. Long story short, we're supposed to keep that because in Acts it said, let us keep the feast. And it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was after Christ died. So it's a perpetual thing, like it is said in the scriptures.
Okay, and again, everybody, you listen, Brother Gabriel. Brother Gabriel, where do you live? What city?
I'm in Dalton, like 5 minutes south of Chicago. Basically, I could walk to Chicago from where I live.
Okay, now I got the guests in the house now, brother. So let me go to this brother, and let me just go ahead and put you on hold again. I just wanted. You know, because I told you my tooth is really bothering me, and I just can't talk. Right now I'm feeling okay. I just did something that stopped. So, you know, it's been doing it all night. So, like I said, Brother Gary, we got the guests in the house. You're more than welcome to. I want you to press 1 on your phone when you have a question or a comment for the guests, okay? But I appreciate you giving a little bit of an intro while the guest was on his way, okay? Appreciate that, my brother.
I wish I was more prepared. I wasn't ready. Basically, it sounded like kind of like a fool almost to myself.
Oh, you did well, man. You did very well. You did very well. And this brother's going to come in behind you. So I think you'll like this brother. But, you know, if you have questions or comments, let him know, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold for now. Like I said, if you have any questions or comments, press 1 on your phone. All right? So I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold now. Let me go before I go to the guests. Let me just tell everybody again. You listen to 5 Smooth Stone. This is Brother Seth. Tonight we're talking about the feast days. You know, I believe with all my heart that African Americans, so-called African Americans, are one of the lost tribes. I know that sounds crazy. When I first heard it, I thought it was crazy as it sounds to you right now. But when you begin to look at what the Bible said Israel was going to go through and how Israel was going to behave and what Israel was going to be thinking as a nation and what they was going to go through and especially who their oppressors were, where they was going to come from, what they was going to do to them, how they was going to put in slave ships, nobody fit the characteristics of that more so than the African American. If there are other people all over the planet, they're nothing more than our brothers and sisters going through the same prophecies that the Bible said Israel would go through if they disobey. But it ain't always about cursing. We also can be blessed if we obey. So I just want to say that. Having said that, I'm going to go ahead and open the line to my guest. My brother, are you on the line?
Is it Brother Yashua? Hey, Sloan, brother. Yes, it is.
Okay, everybody, this is the brother I've studied with. Like I mentioned earlier, we used to do Bible studies over the internet. Over the internet too, and also over the phone lines. He lives in Cincinnati, but we still managed to have a Bible study in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where a lot of people came over to my house. I went over other people's houses, and we would do this kind of like what we're doing right now with this blog talk, but it was on another. It was a different. System. And so this brother was our teacher, one of our teachers. All of us, a couple of us taught here and there. And so I just thought I would invite him because he's very good with the dates and keeps up with a lot of the feast days. I mean, I try to too, but I try to keep up with a little bit of everything. And not saying he don't, but I'm just saying this is an area I know for a fact that he is well capable of teaching tonight as well as other areas. So I'm going to go ahead, my brother, and let you introduce yourself. As you notice, I'm not saying your name a lot. I want you to go ahead, Brother Yashua, and introduce yourself. Everybody know what your name is, where you live, and the name of the Blog Talk that you have on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Well, first of all, like you said, my name is Yashua, out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Our ministry is known as Israel Now. We have a radio show entitled Israel Now Radio Show. Now it's just NOW. You can find our Facebook page on Israel Now with two W's. It's like our Facebook ministry page where we just, you know, reach out to the people through that page via Facebook. And, you know, that's pretty much it as far as, you know, the general information.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you missed this, Brother Yeshua, but I told everybody earlier I was battling a toothache. So I'm deliberately not going to say something. Right now I'm doing okay. It's not bothering me as much as it was when I first opened up the show. But you're going to be doing a lot of talking tonight, and hopefully we get a lot of people asking questions. We got people on the phone lines as well as in the chat room, just to let you know already. So there's a lot of people here that are early. But tonight, folks, again, this is an online celebration, if you will, if there's a such thing, and I think there is a such thing. We're just going to talk about the feast days and the importance of the feast days. What I like to do, Brother Yashua, is establish one thing before we go any further. It's 2012. Folks are trying to live. They got kids. They're in school. They got bills. They work every day. What in the world are we talking about on this show tonight? Why in the world are we talking about some feast days that's thousands of years old and have nothing to do with these people? This is what some of them think. I'd like for you to spend some time talking about why it's important. I mean, why it's important in 2012? Because, unfortunately, we can't block the show for only Israelites. We got a lot of people listening. While we can't go back, everybody, and make this show out of a show talking about how we know Israel, that's a whole other show, y'all. You just have to look into the archives. I know at least probably 14 shows, 2 hours each, talking about how we are the true people of the book. That Bible y'all know of is full of nothing but dark-skinned people. And where white skin do appear, it does not have something good to say about it because it comes from albinism and vitiligo. That's your Bible. That's your book. I know how it sounds, but we talked about this to death. So tonight we are acknowledging the true Israelites. The Most High told them, wherever you are scattered, wherever in all your dwellings, that you were to keep these feast days forever. And this is a time, instead of holidays, we have these feast days, and we're supposed to sit down and y'all got to forgive me because I'm probably going to slip up and say Terry sometime, because this is what I used to know the brother by, Brother Terry, but he goes by Brother Yahshua. So if I slip up and say Brother Terry, I'm sure Brother Yahshua can forgive me and y'all will too. So anyway, Brother Yahshua, do me a favor and establish the need for this topic. Why is it important in 2012?
Well, it's important because just like if we look at all other nations upon the face of the earth, they all know their history, and they don't forget their history. We know for a fact that history repeats itself. You know, those who don't know their history is destined, you know, to repeat certain things, to repeat certain tragic events that happen in your history as a people, no matter what nationality you are. So it's very important to know where you come from, because knowing your history actually shapes your destiny, shapes your future. So us, just like any other nation, should know their history. And that's all it is it's a part of our history, something that happened, a true historical event when the Most High released our people out of bondage in ancient Egypt. And so, of course, when we go to Exodus 12, the Most High commanded us to keep this day as a memorial, as a feast forever. Then he says, throughout your generations. So that means what? At that time, when those Israelites who lived in that day, when they had children, then their children were supposed to celebrate it. And when they had children, their children should celebrate the Passover. And on and on and on. So in this holy time of Passover, we're looking back. But also we're looking forward, because the scriptures also talks about that there shall be another Passover. Jeremiah puts it like this, that no longer will they say, Yahweh led up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Yahweh brought up and led up the children of Israel out of the land of north and out of all the countries where he has scattered them. You know, so basically letting us know that there's going to be another Passover, another Exodus from all of these different lands where the Most High scattered the children of Israel. And
now, Yahshua, let me ask you a quick question. Because you're building your land of foundation, and before you get done, before the show is over, I hope that we have a beautiful edifice you just built. But you just said something I know it's throwing a lot of people. I just know it. When you say Yahweh, what do you mean?
When I say Yahweh,
who are you talking about?
Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. It's the Most High, who a lot of people would know in the English language as God. God actually has a proper name, which when we look in the ancient Hebrew, it is pronounced Yahweh. So that's who I mean.
And let me add to that now what this brother is talking about. When the translators went to translate the Bible, they came across four Hebrew symbols: Yud Hey Wad Hey, Yud Hey Wad Hey, Y Yud Hey H Wad W H is Yud. Yud Hey Wad Hey. I said it wrong. Yud Y Hey H, Y, W, H, Hey. Did I get that right, my brother?
Yud,
Hey, Y, Hey. Now, some people interpret that to mean, now just write that down if y'all got a pencil. Write those letters down, Y, H, W, H. That's what they came across. Now, when this brother does his research, he have come across this to mean Yahweh. Some of the believers or Christians, people that call themselves Christians, have been heard somebody else pronounce this another way. Y'all are used to the word Yahweh. So whether or not you understand this, brother, when you say Yahweh, or whether or not you've been taught Yahweh, just understand he's talking about the Most High, and let's not turn this into a Bible study on what to call the Most High. Because I know different people say different things, and I want us to just focus on the feast days and so I don't want us to focus on the name of the Most High. We know that there was four letters and they came across it, and they wouldn't say this word, this name, these letters. They wouldn't pronounce his name. What they did is said God. They removed these four letters and put the word God. That's why you got God throughout the whole Bible. But there was the letters Yud Hey Wav Hey. And that's where you get Yahweh, Yahawah. I've heard all kinds of pronunciations of this, but according to this brother and his Bible study, his research, Hebrew, and I can tell you right now, he studied a lot of that. He say Yahawah. So just go ahead, my brother. I just want to lay that down because I want folks to follow you. Because, you know, some people, they don't even say Yahweh. They don't even say Yahweh.
Right.
You on another level. So that they don't even know where they get nervous. They're like, is he calling another God? So I have to explain that. But go right ahead.
Right. Okay. Like I say, the second exodus from all these different lands where the Most High scattered us, it shall be so great that the Most High said he won't even be known by the first Passover, the first exodus anymore, when this latter Passover, this latter exodus actually happens. In this Passover feast and celebration this time of year, we're looking back to the previous Passover, but we're also looking forward to the time where the Most High will redeem us from all of these different lands where we're scattered to, from the different lands in Africa that the Israelites are, to North America, South America, Jamaica, Haiti, Cuba, all the different islands that we went to on the transatlantic slave trade, and all the different places that the Northern Kingdom, the 10 tribes, were scattered to, from Ethiopia to India and everywhere else. So that's what we're looking forward to, and we're looking back to the previous exodus.
Let me ask you this, I'm going to talk now. A lot of this stuff, y'all know some of just because I ask a question don't mean I don't already know the answer. I'm just trying to get everybody on the same level, and then we'll move forward. You say the word Passover. Passover. What in the world is the Passover?
The Passover comes from the Hebrew word Pesach. When we go back to the story when our ancestors were slaves in Egypt, and the Most High commanded them to, you know, kill a lamb and then take the lamb's blood and put it over their doorpost. And it said when the death angel comes, he will pass over your house when he sees the blood, and your firstborn will not have to suffer and die. But all the Egyptians' firstborn had to die because the Most High, the death angel, did not see the blood. So that's where the name Passover comes from, because our houses were passed over and no one had to die in our houses because of the blood, which is very symbolic of the Messiah's blood. And just like he mentioned that when we talk about the Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, we pronounce the Most High's name Yahweh. Well, we also recognize that there's no letter J in Hebrew, so whenever I refer to Messiah, I will refer to him by his Hebrew name, which is Yahweh Shah. So that blood in the Old Testament, when they put the blood on the doorpost, is a foreshadow to Yahawashah's blood, or Christ's blood, or the Messiah's blood, who shed his blood for the sins of the people. And now, when the Most High is recognizing his blood as our atonement, you know, that's the whole connection there. That's the whole foreshadowing, because in many ways, the Messiah is the fulfillment of that Passover lamb that we read about in Exodus chapter 12.
Okay, well put, well put. And if I'm a little bit slow, y'all, after his response or one of y'all's responses, probably because I got medicine in my mouth, and right before y'all get done, I spit it out. Then when you start talking, I put it right in my mouth, then I spit it out until I get rid over this toothache. Anyway, I wanted to also hit a little bit more on establishing the need for it. And I remember how you did your Bible studies. This brother would explain stuff, expect you to get it, and he liked to move on. He liked to build. I'm kind of old school. I like to lay the foundation. And after I've laid the foundation, I like to lay it again, because I always know somebody in the class is struggling. And I'd rather make the whole class wait till that one person catch up and we all move forward than to move forward and somebody ain't 100%. So once again, I want to revisit this need. It's 2012. You got Obama and President White House. You got iPods. You got cell phones. You got Facebook. You got democracy. You got bills. You got folks working on jobs, what in the world are we doing talking about an ancient old Hebrew holiday, or holy day, I should say? Why in the world should anybody be listening to you tonight that happened to be of so-called African-American descent? Please, please, one more time, Brother Yeshua, explain to them and hear a little bit about, I would rather not turn this Bible study proving how we Israel, because we've already talked about that to death, but hit that just a little bit, and they hear me talk about it all the time, but I want them to hear you talk about how you know we Israel. And then from that, build what the Most High told Israel to do with regards to keeping these holy days, if you don't mind. Just one more time, please.
Okay. So, yeah, pretty much, I mean, it is part of the Most High's law, part of his commandments. And, of course, like I stated earlier in Exodus, the Most High commanded us to keep the Passover forever. And he says, throughout our generations. So throughout your generations actually means, whenever you have a son, then that son or daughter is going to keep the Passover. When they have kids, they're supposed to keep the Passover. And also, I mean, even in when we come to the other scriptures in the New Testament, they were keeping the Passover as well. And a lot of people will say that they fashion their lifestyle after the Messiah. You know, it's a very known saying that a lot of people say WWJD, or what would Christ do, or however they say. Well, we don't have to guess and speculate what would he do. We have the scriptures right in front of us, and we know what he did. All we have to do is go to Matthew 26 and other places, and we can see clearly that the Messiah kept the Passover. You know, this is no secret. He kept the Passover. Now, he is our representation, or what we should be trying to be like in the earthly realm, how he came to earth to live as a man for 33 years, we should be trying to walk that same walk that he walked, you know, a righteous walk. And, of course, if he kept the Passover, we should keep the Passover. You know, he's our example on earth, you know. So with that, and also with knowing the connection of who we are, and it's a part of our history, we definitely need to teach our children the true history of themselves, because the schools is only going to teach them. If you go to the regular schools, you're going to think that your history started in slavery in America, when we had a great and glorious history before that our people know nothing about. And I truly believe that when you know who you are, you will act better as a person. You know, we see our people on the streets of America in all the major cities killing each other every night, you know, doing all type of prostitution and selling drugs and taking drugs and all these different things. And if you learned this knowledge when you was a kid, when you learned who you were, you would act the part. But since you don't know who you are now, you act in another part. You're acting like something that, you know, that you was called. You're acting like a, you know, a thug or something like that, when you're actually a holy and righteous people. So that's a major, major part of it, you know.
Okay, I'm going to say this. For those that are listening to the show and you're not even sure we Israel, but it's something about this topic that's pulling on you, it's interesting, this is what I'm going to say to you. A lot of times when you get that pulling, it's because you know something is truth inside of your spirit, but your head ain't lining up with it yet because it sounds so crazy. And I will be the first one to tell you, if you have not studied this and you're hearing this for the very first time, we sound crazy and off and divisive and racist, probably. But if you just listen and just say, like I do sometimes, Paul told Timothy, consider what I say, Timothy, and the Most High will give you understanding in all things. In other words, just hear me out, Timothy. And the Father, he'll if it's true, he'll reveal it. But just hear me out, Timothy. That's what I'm saying tonight. Just hear us out. Listen to the scriptures. Write them down. Go check them out. I submit to you that African Americans are one of the lost tribes of Israel. I submit to you that anybody else that lived like African Americans all over the planet is nothing more than another tribe. Israel, the people that live in Israel today, don't go through any of the scriptures. None of the things that have happened to them as a nation has been biblical. You say, well, they became a nation. They became a nation in 1948. They didn't become a nation according to the Bible. They became a nation with the United States, Great Britain. Oh, my tooth. Great Britain, United States, and the United Nations. They forced this land into being. That's why right now as we speak, there is bloodshed in Israel. There is no peace. Most High had nothing to do with that. So, Brother Yeshua, I want you to focus on now a little bit of proof of how we know Israel, please.
Okay. Basically, that's just going into the prophecies. It's actually not just the prophecies. First of all, you can actually start just for people, like you said, some people don't know that may be listening, that we are Israel, and, you know, they don't know our true nationality. They were told that they were black, which is an adjective, which is a color. There are no people on the earth ever called black people. There's no land to go back to called black land. There's no culture. Whenever you find out your history, you know, if someone says they are Italian, well, you can relate that to a land, Italy. You can relate that to a culture and a whole way of life. You know, if you say you're black, there are many black nations. So which nation are you from? Egyptian, Ethiopians, you know, all different black nations. So first of all, to prove it, I mean, sometimes a starting point for people that don't know is as simple as, because the scriptures sometimes are not understood by people, but sometimes you can go right into archaeology. You can find different archaeological pictures to where, and these are books, like legitimate history books that that you can find that even in colleges that they use. And they'll show you pictures of black people working in Africa, which I've seen these pictures. And these pictures were on the Egyptian pyramids and on the Egyptian tombs, and they just took the picture right out of the Egyptian pyramids and put them in a history book. And what you can see is you can see black people working and building bricks and things like that. And under the headline, what the people wrote was in the book, it says that these are the Egyptian slaves known to the Egyptians as Iparu. Well, then it says Iparu is the Egyptian word that means the Hebrews. And if you look at the pictures of the people are clearly black people with woolly hair and, you know, what we know of as an African-American male today. So now you have to wonder if these were the Hebrews that the Egyptians had as slaves, why do we think that Jews are white today? You know, because we lost who we are via slavery. And another people picked up our culture and started to claim to be us, just like the scripture prophesied in Revelation 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9. It talked about a people that will call themselves Jews and are not, and the Messiah said that they are liars. So that is a great, great prophecy given in the book of Revelation right there. So as we go on and continue through the scriptures and we look at especially Deuteronomy 28, I mean, there's other scriptures we can point out, Leviticus 26, Luke chapter 21, all through the book talks about the different curses, but I think no place lays it out better than Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, when the Most High told us about all the curses that will befall his chosen people, the Israelites. And if we read through those curses vividly, we're the people upon the face of the earth that fits every last one of those curses. And we could say, yes, tragedy has happened to many different nations and nationalities, but only Israel will fit every last one of those curses. You know, from verse 15, when the curses start, all the way down to verse 68, we fit to a T every last one of those curses. So we are the biblical Israelites. The Israelites.
Now, hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Somebody asked in the chat room, how about the Latinos? Are they a part of Israel?
Latinos, it depends on which Latinos. Because, you know, there are so-called black Latinos. There are Latinos of like a Mexican look and descent and things like that. So to be specific, which Latinos? Because truly Israel has been scattered to Latin America as well. So that's just like
I would say that's an easy one. Of course, I don't know if you, like you say you can say all, just like we can't say all black people Israel. All black people are not Israelites. Just because they can be charcoal black and be, they could have been some of our enemies back in the biblical times. Everybody black is not Israel. We never, ever, ever said that. Everybody black, I'm going to say it again, is not Israelite. All right? So it depends upon this, my sister. And this is Zuli 30, friend of mine. Zuli 30, welcome to the chat room. And all the other guests in the chat room as well. It depends upon, does this nation, because, you know, with all nations, when it's all said and done, you have to look at your people and ask yourself these questions. Were they bought to their land in slave ships? Do they live out all of those prophecies set forth in Deuteronomy 28, like the brother was saying, and also Leviticus 26, and it's all types of scriptures throughout the whole Bible, really. Do the Latinos fulfill those characteristics? If they do, it is nothing you or I can do to separate them from their heritage. They are Israel. End of story. And if they don't wear that shoe like Cinderella wore that slipper, if it's not a perfect fit, they're not Israel. Like brother just said, a lot of nations go through pain. A lot of nations suffer. Everybody can say, oh, y'all black people don't have it. You know, y'all not the only ones suffering. Whites have suffered too. We've suffered too. Africans of all the countries can say, we've suffered too. Africa suffered too. India's. But everybody black is not Israel. Every person in Latin America probably is not Israel. Israelites, very simple, is going to live out the prophecies set forth in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and all of the scriptures. Brother Yeshua, I want you to go ahead and continue. I kind of interrupted you, but I just, if you have any more on that Latino issue?
Well, first of all, yeah, I think that was well put, what you just said. I like the way you answered that. And, no, I was really just going to go into actually the hair texture in the Bible as well of the Israelites. All through the Bible, the hair texture is described as a woolly hair texture, their hairstyle.
Oh, go ahead, yes, do that, that's good.
And also the hairstyles, Old Testament and New, you know, I don't separate the Old Testament from the New like some people do. It's all one book to me, it's all the scriptures. So Old Testament and New also describes not only the hair texture, but the hairstyles. And all of the hairstyles in the Bible are also styles that only are akin to so-called black people, people with a woolly hair texture. It talks about locks. It talks about braids and things like that, things that culturally only so-called black people have because our hair texture is different. So when we actually, a lot of times we read over these things because we're not looking for them. But once somebody say, hey, we're the Israelites, and you really start to look and examine how do people look and what area in the world that they lived in, just like Brother Seth said earlier, I mean, the whole Old Testament is all black people. I mean, the Canaanites were black. The Egyptians were black. Egyptian is Mitzrayim in the Bible. The Ethiopians were black. They were mentioned all throughout the Old Testament. The Israelites were black. The main people who was mentioned. I mean,
now let me say something. I got to jump in real quick. My tooth is calmed down just for a second. Let me just say this real quick. Jump in here, Brother Yeshua. Folks, when we say the whole Bible is black, trust me, I know how racist that sounds. And y'all know Brother Seth, don't nobody on Blog Talk Radio say I love white people more than I do. Nobody. I got a lot of flack for that by a lot of people. I ain't got no hatred towards no white people because, to me, white people are nothing more than black people with less pigmentation. There really is no such thing as black men. We're saying black people, black people. But there was no such thing back then as black people or white people. There were just people. It just happened to be that some people had more pigmentation than others, and those that had very little pigmentation sometimes made it with each other. And according to scientists, I've spoken with y'all, know me, I've talked about Dr. Chitt of the University of Cincinnati, and there's a whole lot of other doctors that say once albinos, which are people that has the lowest of pigmentation, mixed with other albinos, they cannot produce any more pigmentation. And that starts the so-called white race. I don't acknowledge the white race. I don't acknowledge the black race. I only use these terms so y'all can understand what I'm talking about. But like the brother is saying, the whole Bible is full of people made from the dust of the earth. They didn't call them black back then. Nobody called them black. Nobody called them brown. They were just people made from the dust of the earth. These was, I like to say, dust-colored people. That way I'm politically correct. Can't nobody check me on that because the Bible calls them dust. They make some dust. So dust-colored people is what this book is full of, dust-colored people. The sun shined on some of them, and that brown dirt becomes a little bit darker. But this white skin, this not being covered at all by melanin, this, in biblical times, was a type of so-called leprosy.
Right.
It was a type, one type. This losing pigmentation, being born with no covering, if you will. The Most High made the darkness or the brown dust for a reason. We all supposed to wear it. And when you don't wear that dark skin, that dust, the sun becomes your enemy. You get skin cancer, and it can even cause death. I know it's a little deep. When I say leprosy, I know I threw half of y'all off, but trust me, ain't got nothing but love for all people. Go ahead, my brother. Finish.
Okay, yeah. Just to kind of piggyback on what you just said, I mean, if you look at the history of our people being slaves in Egypt, I mean, Egypt in the summertime, because remember, our people were outside making bricks in Egypt as slaves. They were making bricks. Okay, now, Egypt in the summertime gets up to like 120 degrees, and the sun is beaming down. I mean, just really think about that and what the sun does to white people in America, and it don't get nearly that cold, and you're out making bricks all day long from sun up to sun down, you know, in 120 degree weather. I mean, it's almost obvious that, you know, there had to be black people to even accomplish this, you know, but at the same time, you know, we can see another clue is that, well, it's a well-known fact that the Egyptians were black people. And you can go to any library, any bookstore, and pick up a book about Egypt, and you're going to see 1,000 pictures of black people, undeniably black people. Well, all throughout the Bible, the Israelite people were mistaken for Egyptians because they were both black people. You know, we looked alike when you look at the pictures, the ancient pictures, and we looked alike in the scriptures because Moses was mistaken for an Egyptian, Paul was mistaken for an Egyptian, and actually all the 12 tribes of Israel were mistaken for Egyptians when we go to Genesis chapter 50, starting at the first verse to around the 11th verse. What happened was our ancestor Jacob, he had died, and the 12 tribes, Reuben, Judah, Simeon, Asher, his 12 sons was going up to bury him. And the scripture says when the Canaanites seen these men, they thought that they were Egyptians because they were crying and things like that. And the Canaanites' response were, wow, it must be a very grievous day for the Egyptians. But it wasn't Egyptians, it was the Israelites, the 12 tribes. So therefore, we can go to Genesis 50 and conclude that all 12 tribes were so-called black men with woolly hair. And we understand science that lets us know that dominant genes dominate. It's not recessive to other genes. So even if Israel did mix with other races, which we did throughout the years, and most of the time when we mixed, it was with other black nations, especially in the scriptures. But even if we did mix with other races, our genes are more dominant in other races, so therefore those people will become to look more like us than us becoming to look more like them.
Well put. And I know how I was saying, I don't want to get off topic. You know, I want us to kind of evolve into the whole Passover. The Most High told Israel that you to keep this, but I feel like there ain't no need in talking about Passover when half the room don't even acknowledge. There's no need to talk about the Passover when people don't understand that we're Israel. It's like we're just wasting time. We're some brothers off. There's a lot of folk talking these days, and I'm one of those persons, Brother Yahshua, that I don't like talking to folk don't understand me. I got better things to do, you know. Why I'm going to be up this time of night talking about something that's past 2,000 years ago. Nobody do it no more. Actually, it's older than 2,000 years. I mean, why talk about the Passover? But, folks, I want y'all to think about one thing, those of you, because we got to move on and get into the Passover aspect of the topic. Those of y'all that are not certain we Israel, I just want you to keep listening and ask yourself this question. What if we are? So I want you to just kind of pretend for a second just to get through this teaching that we are. Suppose we are. Even if you don't believe we're Israel, you think me and the brother have been smoking on something. The church, all churches throughout America keep, they're keeping the Passover these days anyway. A lot of churches is now keeping the Passover. So if you call yourself a believer, you need to know what the Passover is anyway, because your belief system comes from the ancient ways of Israel, all of your belief system, even the Messiah himself. So you need to know about this regardless. The Israelites was commanded to keep the Passover. Now, Brother Yahshua, get into what exactly we're supposed to do on the Passover.
Okay. On the Passover, well, first of all, the Passover is supposed to be kept on the 14th day of the first month, according to Leviticus chapter 23, around the 5th verse. And now, of course, when we say the first month, we're not dealing with January the 14th, because this calendar that we're using in modern-day America is known as the Gregorian calendar, and the Gregorian calendar did not exist when the Most High gave us the command some 3,500 years ago to remember the 14th day of the first month and keep the Passover. Well, what he's talking about is the calendar that he gave to his people, and we can verify that calendar in Exodus chapter 13 and Exodus chapter 12, when the Most High lets us know in Exodus 13, it says, the month of Abib, A-B-I-B, this month shall be to you the beginning of your months, or the beginning of your year. Well, Abib corresponds to what we know of in America around the springtime. So what it is actually on March the 22nd of this year.
Hold on before you go into that. I'm sorry, I had to got interrupt here, and I don't want you. I know you're gonna do this, but I want to tell the people. Y'all really need to listen to this. Check out how Israel find out what is the new year. This is a trip. You can never mess up, because they're actually gonna have to do it by the moon, and the moon does the same thing every single year. Every single year, every single month, there's a new moon. Just like a woman's period, every 24, isn't it 24 days, a new moon, my brother?
Actually, it's 29 and a half days.
29, I'm sorry. I know it's the same as a woman's cycle. It's a trip. But there's this new moon, and this is how Israel is to know their months. But I don't want to spill the beans. You is going to go there. But I wanted them to know that when we say the month of Bib, you probably say, well, how y'all going to know what the month is, the Hebrew month? How y'all going to know? How y'all know that? It's lunar. You go by the moon. So go ahead and break that down. Just include that. I just want to, because I think sometimes when you say a BFP, I don't know what that is, they're not listening. But it's really fascinating. Go ahead, my brother.
Okay. So, you know, therefore, March the 22nd, a new moon arrives. Now, that meant that a new month came. Well, we were already in the 12th month, so when the new month came, now we're back to the first month. So March the 22nd of this year started, it was the new moon, and it started the first month of the year according to the calendar that the Most High gave his people.
Now, and what's a new moon?
A new moon is actually when there's a new moon and you look in the sky, you won't see a moon in the sky. So what is a new moon? A new moon means that it's called, in scientific terms, it's called a conjunction. Well, a conjunction is when the earth, the moon, and the sun are all in a straight line. Now, what does that mean to us? That means that when you look in the sky, you won't see a moon. Why won't you see a moon? It's a basic, sixth grade astronomy class. You won't see a moon because the moon does not have light unto itself. The moon lights up because the sun shines on the moon, and therefore the moon lights up. So now if we're on Earth and we look straight up in the sky and the moon is there, but then the sun is directly behind the moon, then therefore the part of the moon that's lighting up is the part that we don't see from Earth. So therefore, it's dark. And so that's known as a new moon when they're all in a straight line. And whenever there's a new moon, the word moon and month in Hebrew is the exact same word. It's from the Hebrew word chodesh, which if you have a concordance, you can look it up in your concordance, and you'll find it's the Hebrew word number 2320, I believe. And sometimes they'll translate it as moon. Sometimes they'll translate it as month. But it means the exact same thing. Whenever a new moon comes, in the Hebrew, it's a new month. Okay, so that's what a new moon is. So if they're all in a straight line, you don't see a moon in the sky. It's not lighting up. What happens is the following day, the moon has actually moved over slightly to the right because these things are circular in the sky. It has moved over slightly to the right. So then the next day when you look in the sky, you'll see what's known as the crescent, where you see like the C shape. But actually it'll be to the right, so it'll be like a backward C. Okay? And then the day after that, the moon will get a little bit bigger, which you'll see. And the third day, a little bigger. And the fourth day, a little bigger. Each day, it'll get bigger and bigger. Up until about the 14th or 15th day of the month, that's when it'll be a full moon. Okay? That's when it'll be a full moon. And then at that point, from the 16th day on down, the moon will get smaller and smaller and smaller until you get to about the 29th day or the 30th day. And then you'll see a small crescent again, but this time it'll be on the left side when you look in the sky. And therefore, you know the next day or two it's going to be a new moon again where you won't see the moon at all. And this is the same pattern that the moon has been doing for thousands and thousands of years, that pretty much all ancient cultures base their calendar off of the rotation of the sun and the moon. Just living in modern-day America, we don't look up enough. We're busy looking down on computers or we're at work and things like that. But, I mean, the moon is doing the exact same cycle month after month. And this is how we calculate our calendar based on the moon.
That's so deep. Every time I hear that, every time I tell that, it still is deep that moon does the same thing, that the cycle never breaks. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Anyway, my brother, I didn't mean to derail you talking about what is a new moon, but I just had to ask it because I know, again, using terms people don't know, they flip out and then, well, you know what happened when people don't understand. So anyway,
right.
You can finish what you were saying prior to that. Hope I didn't mess you up too much there, but I wanted everybody to know about this new moon. Israel based their months on new moons, and this is how you keep the feast days. Again, the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread start 14 days after the new year. And think about this. Why would you celebrate a new year anyway in the middle of the winter? Think about that for a second. Well, go ahead, my brother. I didn't mean to interrupt your earlier flow.
Right. Okay. And based on the, since we did get into the new moon and as far as calculating the calendar, I just wanted to read one scripture that kind of verifies some a little bit what we talked about as far as the new moon. And that scripture is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. I'll read it. And it says, now, just like when Brother Seth mentioned earlier, when I would say Yahweh, well, a lot of times when I see the word God, I would translate the Hebrew word that was there, which is Elohim. Okay, so Elohim is the Hebrew word for God. Okay, so Genesis 1 and 14 says, and God, or Elohim, said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. So, of course, we all know what those lights are in the heavens that divide the day from the night. He's talking about the sun and the moon and the stars, okay? Then it says, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So now this is a very clear understanding of what I just explained. This is why we use the new moon to measure our days, months, and years, and therefore signs and seasons. So I'm going to read the 15th verse. It says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the two lights are the sun and the moon, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So in these verses, it clearly lets us know the sun, the moon, and stars are used to divide, to number our days and our years and our months. We use them for signs and seasons also. So that's just a small inkling of what I was talking about with the new moon.
Pretty powerful, pretty strong stuff. Hope everybody's getting this. I've tried to keep it as elementary as I can. You know, some of us just have to come on up a little higher because we can't keep it simple. We got to go a little deep sometime. Brother Yeshua, I want to take a quick little break. And then I'll be right back. I just want you to kind of gather your thoughts and think about what direction you want to go further with this. I think we probably need to repeat some things, but I know you got a lot on your plate, my brother. I know you always got a lot to say. So just give it, if you can, just give us a couple of minutes here, and we'll be right back, okay? Again, you're listening to everybody, Five Smooth Stones. This is... Brother Seth, I have as my guest, Brother Yeshua from Israel Now, who is also on Blog Talk Israel Now. It's a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. And this brother, as y'all see, don't even tell you nothing. You see that he has a lot to say. He has a lot to say. So, I want everybody in the chat room that have questions or comments to please, at this time, please type your questions and comments. Those of you on the phone line, if you have a question or comment, now we're going to have these little breaks where I want you to gather your thoughts and ask the brother a question if you have a question or comment, okay? Please do it now. It's very important because I want us to just stay on this flow. We're talking about the Passover tonight, and so I want everybody to understand why it's so important. Why it's so important for us to keep these feast days, especially in 2012. So I was going to play something, but I can't even find it, and I'm just, again, battling this toothache. So I'm going to go back to Brother Yeshua. A little something, but again, I can't find the clip. So anyway, Brother Yeshua, I brought you back. Go ahead and finish your train of thought with regards to the Passover, what it is, how we're to do it, and also get into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the second part of the Passover. So let everybody know what that is, please.
Okay. So like I said, the Passover is on the 14th day of the first month. It just commemorates the Most High setting our people free from Egyptian slavery, when he passed over our houses and did not suffer our firstborn to die, but the Egyptians' firstborn died because that was the last plague that the Most High told Pharaoh that he would do if Pharaoh did not let his son go, which his son was Israel, the nation of Israel. We get farther instructions that if the Passover is on the 14th day of the first month, then the Most High said the 15th day of the first month, which is the very next day, starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that feast lasts for 7 days. So Passover is actually a one-day celebration. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a seven-day celebration. And during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, well, first of all, leaven itself is symbolic throughout the scriptures. It's symbolic of, like, being puffed up or high-mindedness, or it's symbolic of sin, okay? And the Feast of Unleavened Bread is symbolic of being righteous. Unleavened bread is symbolic of righteousness, and leaven is symbolic of sin. So what the Most High was doing for us is, okay, you just came out of Egypt, this long captivity where you was in a land full of idols, and I want to get you this Passover. Now, after Passover, you need to really come out and separate yourselves from everything you learned in Egypt. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, when we're supposed to eat unleavened bread for 7 days and not eat any leaven for 7 days, because, of course, it represents sin. Now, this is just a whole cleanliness process, meaning take the leaven out of your homes and take the leaven out of your heart, the leaven out of your heart and out of your mind. It's a spiritual thing as well, very spiritual. So I think, just like Paul mentioned in the book of Corinthians, when he said, I'm going to quote it, he said, let us keep the feast not with the, he said, with the bread of sincerity and truth, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, not with the leavened bread of malice and wickedness. So he was just going into the whole spiritual aspect of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is, like I said, a seven-day feast. For those 7 days, we eat unleavened bread, which is known in the Hebrew language as matzahs, because this is also what the Messiah ate, unleavened bread, when he kept the Passover with his disciples on the night that he died, on the Passover night. Remember when they what they know as communion, when he took the unleavened bread and broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you, that was unleavened bread. Then he took the wine and said, this is symbolic of my blood that will be shed for you. That's when that whole communion thing was instituted, you know. So this is a farther brief explanation about the Feast of Unleavened Bread in connection with the Passover.
Very good. I always enjoy hearing you talk, my brother. Even if I know what you're saying, I enjoy the way you put stuff. I miss those Bible studies we used to have. I really, really miss those Bible studies we used to have. But anyway, folks, tonight, y'all listen to Brother Yahshua. This brother has a radio show just like I do on Blog Talk Radio called Israel Now. We used to all be together, him and I and Brother Gary, some other people. We used to study this thing, beat this thing down, just studying and studying and studying and studying. So y'all getting a little sample of what our Bible study was all about. Tonight, we're talking about the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Most High commanded Israel, wherever he run them off, wherever he said in all thy dwellings, that we were to keep these feast days. And like you're saying, like I love the way he just put that. There is a spiritual side. It ain't just about eating unleavened bread for 7 days. When we keep the feast, my daughters would sometimes get upset because for 7 days we keep this unleavened bread. We have these feasts. And I got a question here on the phone lines. We're coming to you. But my daughter used to get upset because she couldn't eat regular bread because, you know, for 7 days we ate unleavened bread. And but we found a way to go to some restaurants that had some, you know, unleavened bread and still kept the feast day. So, but it was a time that the Most High said that we're to sit our children down. And again, Carla, I'm coming to you. We're supposed to sit our children down and remind them of when the Most High brought us out of Egypt. We were slaves, and he brought us out of Egypt. That's what it's really all about. It's a time to sit your people down, not just eat this unleavened bread, but to reminisce. All the holy days is associated with reminiscing. Let me go ahead and go to this question. This person had a question or comment. Go ahead with your question, comment, area code 817-500-817-500. Go ahead with your question or comment. not what the brother said. I just wanted to know, what was the date that he said, you know, about the Passover because of the time and the moon and change, I mean, line up. And I wanted to ask that brother that. What was that date? I mean, even though this is the time that man made, but it's the time that we had, like he said at that time, regardless of situation, that it lines up. So that's what I was asking.
Okay. So your question is, what is the date of the Passover? Is that the question?
No, well, you was talking about the time. You were saying something. You were saying that the moon lined up, and at the time, it, you know, we might think it's the, you know, tomorrow, but the actual date that you had spoke of, that's what I was asking about.
The date of what? The Passover? I'm not really clear. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The Passover.
Okay. Well, actually, the Passover was last night, yesterday, which was, what, Wednesday. Wednesday, when the sun set, it started the Passover. Okay, so then, the Passover was actually yesterday when the sun set, and it went from Wednesday when the sun set until Thursday when the sun set. That was the 14th day of the first month, was Wednesday.
Okay.
And we can verify that fact because if you can, I don't know if you have a calendar next to you, a lot of calendars will tell you when the new moon was.
No.
Your calendar.
I was just listening to you because I'm outside and I'm looking at the moon. It's a full moon now.
Right, exactly. It should be a full moon because, you know, this is how we can verify that fact. Right, because whenever you're on the 14th or the 15th day of the month, it should be a full moon. Now, yesterday at even was the 14th day of the month. When it, about, I guess, some 6-7 hours ago, whenever it got dark, it started the 15th day of the month. So if you look outside, it should be a full moon. Every year when we keep the Passover and you go outside, if someone is telling you, hey, this is the Passover, all you have to do is go outside, wherever, because the Passover is always supposed to be kept at night as well. The Most High said to keep it at night. Okay? So now all you have to do, if they're saying this is the Passover, because I actually know people that kept the Passover about some 3 months ago. You know, because all they do is get a paper from their religious organization that says the Passover is this date, but they have no understanding of the Most High's calendar. So if anyone says this Passover, all you have to do, wherever you at, whatever synagogue, church, house, wherever you at, get up and you walk outside and you look up in the sky. If it's a half moon, it's not the Passover, because that's the Most High's calendar verified. It should always be a full moon on the Passover, because every 14th day of any month is going to be a full moon.
Well, the only thing I can say is it's a full moon outside and the wind is blowing and just relax a moment for a second, but I still got to, you know, I just got to step outside. But I appreciate that. I like that. That was deep. That was real deep.
Right. Yeah, no problem.
I don't know that.
Right. Well, I have to throw this part in also that, you know, you can find calculations on the internet and everything, because sometimes it can be cloudy where you can't see the moon. You know, it can be cloudy at night as well, but it's still a full moon, but sometimes you may not be able to see it because it's a lot of clouds in the sky at night. Now, that's the only variable that can come into play with that.
Well, you know, I'm not really, that's tight. But I'll be around people, like the guy that I work with today, he was saying, man, I got to go to Passover tomorrow evening, you know, at his church, you know, and then he was just saying. But I already know about the Passover, you know, blood on the door, and that way your firstborn won't be.
Right.
I already know about all that. But it was just, for some reason, it was just intuition, and it was just something that I happened to learn today. But while he was talking about the Passover, it just, and then I'm listening to you, and that was tight. I like that.
Okay. So basically, I want to address that, what you said. You said you know someone who's going to Passover celebration starting tomorrow evening, right? So they're starting Friday when the sun sets. They're starting Passover. Is that right?
Right.
Right. Now think about this. This is something just to think about for the listening audience. Because if you look on the calendar, it will tell you that the Passover, it'll have the Passover down for Saturday. You know, whenever they put it on Saturday, they mean for you to start it the night before, so Friday. So what his religious congregation evidently must have done, they just picked up a calendar from Walmart or whatever store, and that store said the Passover was on Saturday, so therefore they're going to keep it Friday even until Saturday even. Now, think about this. All we have to do, it's a lot of people listening via internet, so I know if you're listening by internet, you have the internet there. All you have to do, just go to a Google search and punch in when was the new moon in March. And you'll find that the new moon in March came on March the 22nd. Okay? Now, if we have that fact established that the new moon came on March the 22nd, then we can clearly establish from Scripture that a new moon means it's a new month. So therefore, March the 22nd started what? The first month of the year, according to the Hebrew calendar. So all we have to do from there is do what? Count 14 days later. It should be the Passover. Because if March the 22nd is the first day of the new month, and the Most High said in Leviticus 23 and verse 5 that the Passover shall be on the 14th day of the first month, then you just count 14 days from March the 22nd, and you'll end up with April the 4th. It's the 14th. That's why we kept the Passover yesterday at evening, because that was 14 days after the new moon. What they're doing, it's a known fact that the new moon was March the 22nd, but they went some 17 days later. If they're going to keep it on Friday, well, the Passover is not the 17th day of the first month. It's the 14th day of the first month.
So in other words, you're telling me that it was a man-made calendar, which is man-made calendars and situations, whatever the obstacles may be, it was just man-made, which I like that. I like that.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It is open my horizons and some things you just got to know. Some things, you know, everybody else talking about all this other stuff, but like you say, every time of the year don't make a difference what it is. A tree is out there. But when you look up in the sky, it's every time of the month, the year, the decade, it line up the way it's supposed to be. I like that.
Well, listen, caller, I got another question just popped up on somebody else have their hand up. Appreciate your input and appreciate your comment. Very interesting question you got there. Hang on the line. If you have another question or comment, press 1 again. We'll bring you right back on, okay? So, Eric, call 423. We're coming at you. Did you have any other question? Eric, code 8175500. Did you have another question?
No, I just appreciate that, brother, because, you know, I just want to let him know that, I see things and understand a whole lot of things, but, hey, he's on the right page. He's tight. I like that. You know, if everybody knew what he knew, then aliens would be flying out of the sky, even though, you know, and they probably look at it that way, but it's just where life is. It's just like playing the tree. It's like the moon in the skies, and I appreciate that, brother. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Comment.
Yeah, we appreciate your call. Okay, Erico 423-356, sorry for having you on hold so long. Go ahead with your question or your, hold on a second, let me get you on the verse. There we go. Erico 423-356.
Yes,
who is this? Who am I speaking with? Who am I speaking with?
My name is Barry. I'm from Tennessee.
Okay, my brother, how you doing, brother Barry?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I was just going across a couple shows, and I was drawn to your show for I don't really believe in coincidences. I mean, for a reason, obviously. And it was to, you know, I actually had a lot of what you've been discussing on my mind today. And, you know, it is, with so many people predicting so many different things that are supposed to happen this year. like you guys were just talking about the Mayan calendar, it was and about the gentleman that just made the comment, you know, it was made by man, you know, and we all, as men, we all know we make mistakes. They were going by, you know, seasons and when they could do their crops and things like that. Now, just because they ran out of time doesn't mean we're going to run out of time, is my opinion. I don't know you know, that much about the Mayan calendar. I don't know that much about all these predictions, but I do know that, you know, supposedly this is going to be the last year. But, you know, I guess my question to you is in growing up in a very religious background, and actually in a denomination that does not believe in a whole lot of things, actually they're very nitpicky about what they take out of the Bible and teach, which is not really to me, after I was able to get old enough to form my own opinions about things, I realized what they were doing, and I didn't agree with a lot of it. And so they were taking whatever verses they wanted to out of the Bible and saying, okay, well, we're going to just teach on this, and this is going to be our way. And instead of taking the whole thing and going that route, you know, if that makes any sense. You know, and, well, it might not to a lot of people because it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, as far as why they did it that way.
Let me say this. I can appreciate what you're saying, because a lot of churches do preach and pick and choose scriptures. That is very, very, very true. However, tonight, this show is focusing on the Jewish, or I don't like the word Jewish, because there was no J in ancient times. But this is focusing on Hebraic celebration, the Hebraic celebration called the Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We want to kind of stay on that. While you are making some very serious points about the church, and it's one that I've complained for a very long time, I want to know what you have to contribute to this specific conversation that you did mention about the calendar and all that.
Well, I mean,
what did you get? First of all, how long you been listening to the show, may I ask?
How long have I been listening to the show?
Yeah, how long you been listening to the show, may I ask?
This would be about the third time I've been on the show and listened in on what you've been talking about. I think maybe.
Well, I mean, tonight. How long have you had an opportunity to listen tonight? How long have you had an opportunity to listen tonight?
Actually, I just got on about maybe 10 or 15 minutes ago, so I missed a good bit of it. Because I actually do my own show as well. As I'm a 5-time. Veteran over in Afghanistan, and I just got home about 2 years ago after an injury on my 5th deployment. And so I kind of do a show that talks about, you know, post-traumatic stress and all this other stuff that...
Barry, do me a favor, because we want to nail some more points down. I want you, you've been listening for 10 minutes. I want you to get the gist of what we're saying, Barry. I want you to get the gist of what we're saying. This brother has been laying down some serious foundation for the last hour. So I'd like for you to listen a little bit more and then come back on, press 1 on your phone and come back on and comment if you have something kind of related, because we really need to build something. We want to build and establish the need for this Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover, why it's important, who the real Jews are, why that's important in biblical times, end time events. You mentioned one thing earlier. You said this might be the last year. Well, you're getting into prophecy. You're getting into end time events. So you might want to listen, because Israel plays a part before anything ends. So let's let him go a little further, and I'll bring you back on if you want to comment on that, okay?
I was going to actually comment on Israel because I know a great deal about that place.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not just about Israel. That's a big subject. We're talking specifically tonight about the validity, the relevance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover, and why it's important today to keep it. You know, the churches are celebrating Passover all over the world, and we're talking about how the Most High gave it to Israel, who Israel is. So I just want you to hold on a little bit, and then we'll bring you back on if you want to comment a little later on, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, appreciate that. And that was Barry. Got a lot on his mind, a whole lot. So, Brother Yashua, you've had time to think a little bit. I want you to go ahead and finish your point, please, what you was trying to talk about.
Okay. And, yeah, just to clarify briefly what the brother was saying, I think he was a little confused because when he came on, he said that we were talking about the Mayan calendar, but we never mentioned the Mayan calendar. I think maybe because he joined in late, he heard us talking about the calendar and the moon cycles. He might have assumed that we were going into the Mayan calendar, but no, we wasn't talking about the Mayan calendar. You know, just to clarify that for the listening audience. But, yeah, again, actually, where did we leave off at? We're talking about the, help me out, Brother Seth, what part did we leave out on? We talked about the unleavened bread, the Passover.
Well, actually, we were interviewing another caller. The other caller was talking about some things, you know, so... Prior to that, I can't remember, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm battling this toothache, and I'm enjoying the show. But for somebody having a toothache, listen to the show. I'm really enjoying it. I appreciate you coming on, Brother Yashua, at such a late notice and just really laying this thing out. And I think the people should go ahead.
No, I just said I definitely appreciate the invite. Thanks for inviting me. I definitely appreciate that. Truly.
Yeah, so I think if nothing else, the people understand that this is important. This ain't some little celebration. This is major. This is something that the Most High commanded Israel to do in all the places where they would dwell, because it's a reminder. It's a family event. You get your kids together and you remind them what happened, how we were slaves, how we looked hopeless there for a minute, how the Most High opened up the Red Sea, delivered us, gave us a land, made us a people, established us. And we were to sit down and tell them and remind them who we are. So there's a lot going on with the Passover. They ain't just eating unleavened bread. It's
right.
I mean, you know, there's a lot. And then it's 7 days of afflicting yourself, because to eat unleavened bread is a type of affliction, you ask me. I mean, I'd much rather eat leavened bread as far as the taste. Unleavened bread is more like, it's kind of like a you might not agree with me on that, my brother, but I'm just saying it ain't the best tasting bread. But we do it.
Right.
We've been doing it for a while now. And sometimes we just, and let me just say this. Some of y'all listening today, and you might not have done it. You may not have kept a feast this year, maybe just found it out, because these days, it's another thing. You get the different dates. You talk with different people, you get different dates. This is one thing that frustrated my wife. Different people say different dates, and it's very frustrating. You go ask one person, they say this date, you ask one person, somebody else, and they say another date. So, again, we're going to talk about, I think we should talk about, my brother, how to establish what exactly, when exactly is the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. Now, you did mention this. The Most High did tell Israel that the barley is a type of wheat, has to be ripened. So it's the new moon, and then barley only ripens one time a year. Why don't you talk about that a little bit, please?
Right, okay. And, yeah, like you said, the barley ripens during that time as well. Because it's like, okay, we live in America. So you know that it's springtime when you start to see the, what are those things called? The little yellow that grows up in the grass, the dandelions. You know, when I start to see the dandelions every year, then I know, okay, it's springtime. It's pretty much not going to get cold anymore once I see those dandelions start to grow. Well, the same time when we were in our own land, the land of Israel, well, the Most High connected his new year that he gave to the children of Israel. The month is called Abib, and even in that Hebrew word Abib, it means, like he said, to when the barley ripens. Well, when we start to see the barley ripen in our land, then we know, okay, this is the new year. And then when the new moon comes, then that's farther verification. We have the new moon, and we have this time or season known as Abib, when the barley ripens. now we can declare this is the new year, you know. And then from there, we're going to count 14 days later after that new moon, and it's going to be the Passover. And then on the very
next
day.
Hold on, Brother Yeshua. Let's do that again. Let's do that again. Let's do that one more time. How do you know? Because there's a lot of new moons. There's a lot of new moons. There's, you know, you can count 12 and 365 days. So, again, which one of those new moons is a new year, and how can you tell? We're going to make this so simple that when we get done tonight, everybody's going to be able to tell when is the Hebrew new year. We're going to accomplish that tonight. Everybody's going to know how to tell the Hebrew new year. Now, you heard the brother say, we're looking for new moons. New moons is when you look up in the sky, you don't see a moon.
Right.
Okay? Not when you look up in the sky, you see a big white cluster. No. It's when you look up in the sky, you do not see a moon. That's the new moon. It's there. You can see a round circle, but it's black. That is the new moon. All right, now go ahead and talk about how to determine exactly when the New Year's is, because from 14 days from that, we're going to start the Passover. And no matter where you're in, on the planet, Israelites all over the planet is talking about this very same topic right now, if they did it right. And another thing is, barley is supposed to ripen where? Maybe barley in India ripened one time, barley in Israel ripened another time. What barley are we supposed to go by, my brother?
The barley that's in the land of Israel. The Most High wasn't speaking of any other land as far as the barley. He's talking about the land of Israel. So when the barley ripens in the land of Israel, that is the season. And when that new moon comes, when that same time that barley ripens and we unfulfilled 12 months and that next new moon comes, then we're in the 13th, then we're in the first month of the year. You know, that's when we can declare this is the new year, and that's when we count 14 days later to get to the Passover. So like I say, it's a season. It's a season. It's a time frame. It's a condition. That's the word I'm looking for. ABIB is a condition. You know, it's more than just declaring this is the new year. It's a condition. These conditions have to be right.
So to everybody that's listening, make this elementary plain. If you live in India and you was brought there in slave ships and you have sons, you're fulfilling all of these scriptures in Deuteronomy 28. This is how you know you're a true Jew or a true Israelite or a true Hebrew. This is why we say African Americans are the true Jews or true Israelites. You're living out Deuteronomy 28. You know you was brought there in slave ships. You have sons, but you don't enjoy them because most of them have been taken away into captivity or prison. You have a wife, but another nation came and lied with your wife. Okay? You work all the days of your life. You won't enjoy your labor. You fulfill all these prophecies. You fulfill all these prophecies. So you live in the United States. You're in the Caribbean. You're in South Africa, you're in West Africa, you're in India. They call you the untouchables because if the shadow of you even rests on somebody back in the day, they had to go take a bath. Some people say the untouchable had it worse than black folks. But the untouchables, I've done research on, I went to India and I've checked them out. They really live out the characteristics of Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. So if you are Israel, if you are all over the planet and you are living out these characteristics and you want to keep these feast days that the Most High said, Israel, no matter where you go, you are to keep these feast days. Israel, no matter where you go, in all your dwellings, you are to keep these feast days. You don't want to get yourself in bondage. You just keep the feast days. It's simple. Like Brother Yeshua said earlier, every one of these feast days is spiritual. It's not just stand here, stand there, drink this, drink that, but they're spiritual. They got more than just one meaning to it.
Right.
You know, don't get caught off into just feast days and eating unleavened bread and you got to stand here and say, that's law. The law ain't never going to accomplish anything just by itself. It has to have the heart and the spirit involved. So you're in India, and you're listening to this this show or wherever you're at in the world, and you know you Israelites, you one of them Limbas in South Africa, they call themselves Limba, and you want to know, well, how do I know the new year? It's very simple. When barley in Israel ripen, and it's only going to ripen a certain time of the year, you look for the first new moon after that. 14 days after that, you start your Passover. Did I get that right, my brother?
But it's other variables in that I don't want to go into as far as, you know, other variables. But, yeah, pretty much that's right. Yeah.
Well, when you say other variables, go ahead. I mean, you say you didn't want to get into it, but I mean, people want concrete answers. They want to know that they know that they know that they know that they can explain to somebody else. If I live in India and I want to know when is the feast days, because I want to be celebrating the Passover at the same time all of my other brothers and sisters in captivity all across the world is going through the same oppression, because the same people that rule over us is going to have the same spirit that rule over our brothers and sisters in India. They got the same spirit. So these people are going through it. Black folk think, so-called black folk, African-Americans think they're going through it. But no, Israel is 12 tribes, and all of them are going through it to the same intensity as each. They're all going through it. And sometimes they want to do something, since we can't all speak the same language. Some of us speak this, speak that. We don't speak the same language. We can't really talk to each other, but at least if we can all keep this feast day, the Passover, at the same time, Feast of Unleavened Bread at the same time, and be worshiping the Most High and teaching our kids the history, how the Father, again, brought us out of Egypt. That's what we're supposed to. It literally says you're supposed to tell your children about how the Most High brought us out of Egypt. It literally says you're supposed to teach them that. They don't get tired of hearing every year, but you got to do it every year. Talk about how we were slaves in Egypt. Most High said, of all the people of the earth, Amos 3 and 2, the book of Amos, verse 3 and 2, chapter 3, verse 2, of all the nations of the earth, you have I known. Therefore, I will punish you for all your transgressions. So we haven't always just been slaves. If we obey as a nation, we enjoy the cream of the crop, then we rule over all the other nations. I just had to throw that in there. Go ahead, my brother.
Sure. And just a brief synopsis on the variables. What I like to do a lot of times, especially today, in ancient times when we as a nation were in our own land, I would use the barley more, you know, than I do now, because we have to think about it. Okay, we're in 2012, so we have internet, so it's pretty easy to find out, hey, when is the barley ripening in the land of Israel, things like that. But let's go back 100 years. Let's go back 50 years, you know, 100 years, whatever time. Well, in the 60s, in the 40s, in the 30s, well, our ancestors were in America at that time as well. And if they wanted to keep the Passover, you know, are in India, or all the different lands 200 years ago when we were scattered, or even 1,000 years ago, whatever time period you want to take, they didn't have access to an internet to say, hey, when is the barley ripening? So the Most High gave us, that's why we talked about the moon, because that's one thing that no matter what land you're in, you can still verify it. Just look in the sky, we can all verify the same thing. So, therefore, just being outside of our land, we mostly just use the moon to calculate the Most High's holy days, and not so much the barley, even though the barley is scriptural, because it's, like Brother Seth said earlier, it's talking about the barley in the land of Israel, not the barley in whatever particular land you may live in. Okay, now, to verify this, all we have to do is just remember, when we go back to the scriptures, we'll find that what? The first Passover was kept in the land of Egypt, remember? And the people have not even went to the land of Israel at this point. So they wasn't looking for any barley to ripen or anything when they knew that it was the first month and the 14th day of the first month. They knew that by the Most High came to them and told them, this shall be the first month of the year to you, and they counted 14 days later. So they knew that by the new moon. And then what happened, I'm trying to think of what scripture I'm looking for, but remember, After we came out of Egypt, we went into the wilderness for how many years? For 40 years. And it says in the scripture that we kept the feast in the wilderness. Well, wait a minute. Remember, the Most High didn't let us go into the land for 40 years. So all those 40 years, we kept the Passover year after year for 40 years without looking and seeing no barley in the land of Israel, because we have not yet went into the land of Israel. So therefore, in being outside of the land of Israel as we are today, just like our ancestors were when we were in Egypt and we were in the wilderness, we used the sun, the moon, and the stars to calculate when the Passover was. So that's primarily what we're using today. Once we go back to our own land, then the barley can come more into play again. So that was just a slight variable that I wanted to kind of throw in there.
Now, hold on. That was pretty good. I actually learned something there. So you're saying if there was no barley, you could determine the new year based upon the stars?
Yes.
And the moon?
Sun, moon, and stars. Right. Sun, moon, and stars, yes.
Okay. I mean, maybe I missed something because I was taking this little medicine, but what do you do to determine, you know what I'm going to say, what do you do to determine a new year without barley?
Without barley? Okay. Well, pretty much this is how it works. And I'm going to give a quote from Josephus. And it says, the new year is the new moon nearest the equinox, which ensures that the Passover falls after the equinox. So that's a lot. Now, what did all that mean? Okay, now we have to learn what the equinox is. Okay, the quote is, the new year is the new moon nearest or closest to the equinox, which ensures that the Passover falls after the equinox. Now, first of all, the equinox is, think about the root word, equinox means equal. Well, what is the equinox? There's two equinoxes. It's the spring equinox and the autumn equinox, or autumnal equinox. Well, the equinox is when there's 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. Here in the northern hemisphere in America, pretty much that happens twice a year. Okay? That happens on September the 21st, and it happens on March the 21st. March the 21st, there will be 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness exactly. That is known as the vernal equinox or the spring equinox. And Josephus said that the new year is the new moon that's closest to that equinox. Okay, so now he said that will ensure that the Passover will fall after the equinox, because the Passover was supposed to come after the equinox. Then he said, while the sun stood in Aries. Well, Aries is a constellation, and that's where the stars come in at, because the sun moves through these different constellations. Okay, now the Passover was supposed to fall in the constellation of Aries, meaning it's just an imaginary line in the sky. When the sun is on that path, that's how we know it's that time of year, even without the barley. If the sun is in that constellation, it's still that time of year, and the new moon is closest to that equinox will be the new year.
That was
like
deep,
a whole
brother.
Yeah, and that was the part that I didn't want to get into, because then a lot of people think, like, wait a minute, talking about the zodiac and constellations, and then a lot of people don't know about that, so then I would have to clarify and show in the scripture what the Most High talked about these things. So that was the part.
Let's establish this, because I know how people feel about that. I know they're saying he is God, Aries, and the zodiac, right, in the Bible, and the Most High specifically said that we were not to, and I want you to explain that. You know where I'm going with this, so just go ahead and answer me, because you know where I'm going with it.
Okay,
you know how
go
the
ahead,
churches
far.
Say, the churches say that we're, the Most High said that Israel was not to, just bear with me, I'm trying to do three things here at one time. You know how they prohibited most churches to study the, following the zodiacs, you know, people say, what's my sign, and Aries is going to be this way today, and Aquarius people act this way. You know, the churches prohibit vehemently. They stand against that. So I know when you started talking about the equinox that flipped everybody out. But actually, the Most High had Israel to follow and trace the new moons for their. Bear with me here. I'm going to let you answer that because I got some other stuff going on here. But go ahead and give some feedback on what did the Most High actually say about that? Because he didn't say what most people think he said.
Right, okay. Well, pretty much the Most High said, the Most High is the one that established the zodiac. But what the thing is this. What I'm dealing with here is astronomy. And what the Most High condemned is astrology. Totally different things. Astronomy and astrology. Now, what's the difference? Astronomy is just recognizing, hey, the moon is on the path. And now we can calculate time because of this. Because the Most High clearly gave us instructions in Genesis 1 and 14 that said to use the sun, the moon, and the stars to measure your days, your months, and your years, and use them for times and seasons. So that's what we're supposed to do with the sun, moon, and stars. We're going to use them for time, seasons, to measure our days and our years. And that's it. Don't do no more than that. Don't do any less than that. When we do more or less than that, then we start to get into trouble. And that's all we're doing when I talk about these things. All we're doing is using them just like the Most High said to use them, no more, no less. Now, what astrology does is that they associate many different things. First of all, they prostrate themselves. Prostrate means more like to worship. They worship these different things. And they give these things for prophecies and, you know, the whole nine yards, and that is condemned by the Most High to go into astrology. In no way are we going to astrology. We're just doing exactly what the Most High said to do. So I'm going to give a scripture to verify, which is Job chapter 38. If we go to Job chapter 38, and let's see, I'm going to start at the first verse, and then I'm going to drop down to the verse that I need. Give me a second to find this scripture. There are many scriptures to verify this, but I'm going to just, Job chapter 38 and the very first verse, just to get the context, it reads, "Then Yahweh answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it?" And Most High said in verse 6, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who hath laid the cornerstone thereof?" So here the Most High, as we read the rest of this chapter, he's talking about all the different things that he done. Okay, and he's asking Job, where were you when I did all these things? Okay, now let's drop down to verse 32, and we're going to find out what else the Most High did. Actually, I'm going to read verse 31 and 32. Verse 31 says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" Well, first of all, what is Pleiades? What is Orion? Look it up, and you'll find out these are two constellations. Constellations are groupings of stars, and the Most High is mentioning these. And then in verse 32, he says, "Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Well, take your strong concordance and look up this word, Maseroth, in verse 32, M-A-Z-Z-A-R-O-T-H. If you look that up in the Hebrew, you'll find out that that is the Hebrew word for the zodiac. So the Most High is declaring that he is the one that brought the zodiac forth. It says, "Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide our chariot with his sons?" And this is another constellation. So again, we use the stars for only what the Most High said to use them for. It is another meaning of reckoning time when the sun is on different paths throughout different one of these constellations. This is how we reckon time. And one other scripture that will verify, remember what the disciples said to the Messiah when they said, tell us, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, they actually didn't say world. They said the end of the eon in the Greek. Well, what is an eon? An eon is an age. Well, what is an age? An age refers to the different constellations. So this is a very brief thing, but there's many, many scriptures you can get into to show this. And again, astronomy is what we're dealing with, not astrology.
Well put. Well put. I'm so glad to have you on, man. I'm telling you, we're helping each other in so many ways. My wife actually just got back about 20 minutes ago and brought me some stuff, and it's already helping me, my tooth here. But listen,
okay.
I just want to open up right now a little bit of chat and go in the chat room. Anybody? Zuli 30 said, well, sallow. And I think she meant well said. It just doesn't type it out right. But well said, well said. Anybody in the chat room have any questions? Anybody on the phone lines? We got exactly 10 minutes, so we want to wrap this up. Man, I've so enjoyed this. Even though it's good hearing a lot of this again, it's just good to have you on the show, man. It really is. And y'all, listen, just think. It was this brother, myself, a brother named Gary, another brother named Gary, and some other people that actually contributed to this Bible study from time to time, all over the forget the name of the network, but it was a way you can call this number and everybody can be listening at the same time. It really is neat how they got technology now where, because this brother is actually in Cincinnati. So I want you to go ahead, Brother Yahshua, tell people a little bit about Israel now, how to listen to you. If they want to hear you, they want to go to your show, what is the number to call? When do y'all come on? Just give a serious plug. Somebody say, are you accepting call? Yes, if you call pretty quick. Now, I'm concerned if this person just popped in the room. Normally when somebody pops in the room and asks questions, it's always something crazy, but we'll see what Russell Jones got to ask. If you want to call Mr. Jones or Mr. Jones, I guess it will be Mr. Jones. That's fine. We are taking calls. But I'm anxious to know what you have to ask when you just popped in the room. But anyway, those of you have questions or comments, again, please ask, please ask, please ask. Anybody on the phone lines with another question or comment? If you've already commented, that's fine. You can comment again. Just let the brother know what y'all think. If you just want to compliment him or just let him know. But anyway, Brother Yahshua, while they're debating whether or not they want to call, go ahead and let everybody know about Israel Now.
Okay, well, Israel Now is a ministry. We have Israel Now, and let's see, we're a ministry. We have a Blog Talk Radio show. It comes on every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number is area code 323-784-3647. Again, it's 323-784-3647.
Hold on, I'm gonna type in the chat room. Okay. Say it again.
323.
This person is saying, hold on a second. Russell Jones, if you're calling, you need to call the number in the top upper left-hand corner, the 760-283-0838. If for some reason you're not getting through, I need to know that because we got a beef to pick with. Well, they're saying it definitely is calling. I don't know what to say to that. 760-283-0838. Well, if you're calling on Skype, maybe that's the problem. I don't know. I don't understand how Skype works with that. But anyway, keep trying, my brother, 760-283-0838. Brother Terry, yes, that's what we used to call. Give me that number again,
please.
That they're trying
to get in. Say that again. No, I was just letting the brother know that once he called in, to push number one, so you'll know that he wants to ask a question or make a comment.
Okay. All right, so say your number again, 323-784-3647. 3247?
No, 323-784-3647.
3647. Okay. Well, anyway, like I said, this brother, we used to have this Bible study, and it just has been a blessing. It has been a blessing. That caller just came in. I told you, every time people come in the chat room for 5 seconds and want to comment, it's always something stupid. And so this was some white guy, you know, want to be racist. And so anyway, y'all, that phone number I just posted is Brother Yahshua's contact for Israel Now. And one more time, Brother Yahshua, the time they'll call this 323-784-3647. When?
Right. Every Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Sunday. We also host a Sabbath class via conference call. You can call into that at every Sabbath day, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that conference call number is 610-214-0000. The access code to get into the conference is 704-278-pound. And there, you know, you can hear me teach every Sabbath day. You can ask any question, make a comment afterwards, after every class. You can ask the questions about, you know, the lesson that's been taught on that day. And, you know, so if anyone wants to join us.
Okay. Well, listen, I've enjoyed it, and I hope people, if nothing else, we accomplish the need for people, first of all, to understand who the real Israelites are, and then to understand why the Most High commanded them to keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, when you go to these churches, or you hear the so-called Jews keeping the Passover and Feast on the Unleavened Bread, you will have an understanding. And let me just say this. It's probably why that person was calling for the hatred earlier. We're not hating on no white people. I don't have time for it. I really don't even like, we just don't have time for it. I don't know another way to say it. I love all people, and that includes our white brothers and sisters. I don't care whether they have pigmentation or not. I don't care. I love if anybody on the planet, because we are them, they are us. That's what I believe. So this ain't about to hate the white man, down with Israel, none of that stuff. We just don't believe that the people of Israel is the true Jews. We don't like the way that nation was formed. You know, the Most High never said he was going to use the United States and Great Britain and the United Nations to collaborate and do all this illegal stuff and then go to people that's living in the area and say, the Most High said this is our land. Israel has never, ever came into a land of possession that way. There was times they had to war for it, but the war was quickly, and oftentimes they beat down folks that abused them. Most High told them, go to this area. Tell these people you're going to pass through. You're not going to touch their water. You're not going to touch nothing. Yeah, but you need to pass through this land. And if they say y'all can't pass through, then go to war with them and take their land. That's the only time Israel went to war with folks, at least as far as the passing through part. So all I'm saying is we don't acknowledge the people in Israel as being authentic Israelites. If you're in the chat room, you need to call the phone lines. I just heard you. I got 90 seconds before this phone line is going to be locked and you cannot call the phone line. So y'all got 90 seconds now, 60 seconds, okay? And that phone number is 760, again, 283-0838, okay? And I'm going to put that number in there also. So if you look in the chat room, I got all the numbers for Yeshua. I got his Sunday class and the access number, all those in the chat room. But you got to call that number at 760-283-0838. You're going to be locked out of this show in like 30 seconds. But anyway, this show tonight is nothing more than just to provide clarity. If you're an African American and you see the light, and you see that we could be Israel, it might be a great idea for you to start now keeping these feast days. You start now by getting leaven out of your heart first and out of your house for 7 days. And it's going to end on what day, Brother Terry? Brother Yeshua?
It will end, the Feast of Unleavened Bread will end next, let me think, next Thursday when the sun set, next Thursday at even, the 12th at even.
I think they got that. So anyway, you know, me and my wife and family, we've been trying to keep this, and sometimes we forget. We'll go 3 days and forget and be somewhere eating and go, oh, my goodness, we're sitting up eating leavened bread. Oh, folks, let me say this. Don't make the mistake of being so legalistic you forget the spiritual application. First and foremost, you got to remove the leaven out of your heart. That's what it's all about. If you don't do that, and you just keep leaven out of your house, you're really just being religious. And that is a problem. I don't like religious people. So we got to make sure that if we do this thing, we do it all the way. If you're sitting up and you're removing leaven out of your house and you got all these issues going on, unleavened heart, you're just religious. Period. Most High don't get no glory out of you keeping no unleavened bread, feast of unleavened bread. So we're supposed to keep this feast. One of the things we do is to watch our heart. All of these feast days, these holy days, is about spiritual application of the heart, every single one of them. Later on, we're going to run, I'm going to let Brother Yeshua talk about some quickly in wrapping the show up, talk about the other feast days that's coming up. Maybe we'll have him on for those. He's going to tell y'all, if you don't mind, Brother Yeshua, when I, in a second here, let them know what's the next feast day, what we're to do on that day, and then the next feast day, and then the close out. Pentecost is coming up, I think it's somewhere in June, you know, and then there's Day of Atonement. You know, there's various feast days that Israel is supposed to keep, and every single one of these feast days have a certain different type of spiritual application. The highest one, the most important one, at least I think all of them are, but everybody say it's the Day of Atonement. Am I correct?
Yeah, everybody does say it's the Day of Atonement. I'm kind of like you. I think they all are. I never really actually sit down and say which one is the most important or not. So, yeah, I would just say they're all are important. They're all the Most High's holy days.
And Day of Atonement, I don't like quoting what the so-called Jews in Israel do. When they quote something, I don't even like saying it. But they call it Yom Kippur. I don't know if Yom Kippur, because I found out a lot of times they'll say stuff and don't have nothing to do with the Bible. And this is another thing. We ain't trying to copy off these people. There are people that's been doing this stuff before Israel became a nation. In 1948, there was black folks keeping these feast days and Passovers and before Israel became a nation in 1948. Even in the 1800s, there were black folks in the United States keeping this. Go ahead, Brother Terry. I'm going to let you have the last words. Please visit some of those holidays that's coming right quick.
Okay. Well, of course, we're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread now as we speak. Unleavened Bread will end on the 12th. When the sun sets on next Thursday, the 12th, when the sun goes down, the Feast of Unleavened Bread will be over. Until then, we should be eating unleavened bread every single day and not eating anything with leaven every single day until then. The next feast after that is known as the Feast of Weeks. It's also known as the Feast of Pentecost. That will be on May the 26th. So May the 26th is actually a Saturday. So it'll start that Saturday when the sun sets, and it'll end that Sunday when the sun sets, so the 27th. After that will be the Feast of Trumpets, which will be, is also a one-day feast, which will be September the 16th at even. At even again means when the sun sets. And then after that, the Day of Atonement, which is a one-day feast, will be September the 25th at even when the sun sets. And then after that, it will be the Feast of Tabernacles, which will be September the 30th through October the 8th. And the Feast of Tabernacles is an eight-day feast. It's the longest one. It's 8 days long. So September the 30th at even through October the 8th at even is the Feast of Tabernacles. And these feasts are all located in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. They're all spelled out there and other places as well. But Leviticus 23 is a very good place to go where they're all listed in order. and it actually starts with the Sabbath day in Leviticus 23. So
let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this.
Well, first of all, okay. Somebody is chatting here in the chat room, and a little bit off the subject, but anyway, listen. These feast days, folks, can be revisited again on Brother Yeshua's Sunday station at 6:30, and on his Sabbath classes at 2:30. Now, all y'all got to do is call that phone number he gave y'all. I'm going to give the phone number to y'all again, because some of y'all on the phone lines ain't in the chat room where I post this number. It's 610-214-0000. Then you got to type in the access number. This is every Shabbat. They do this every Saturday. They do this. After you type that number, you got to type in the access code. It's 704-278. So at 2:30 Eastern, that's 1:30 Central, you got to call that number. And I'm sure you're going to be talking about these feast days in the future again, correct?
Yes, correct. Definitely.
Okay, I just wanted to, because we're about to close out the show, and I want those that are hungry and want more of this to know where to go to get it. And then we're not forgetting about those that's going to be listening tomorrow to this show and next month to this show. They are going to want to know how to get a hold of you and get more information, get more clarity. Is there an email that they can contact you directly versus waiting for your show to come on?
Yes. It's Yeshua, which is spelled Yahshuah. PAQAD, again, it's Yahshuah, PAQAD, at yahoo.com.
Okay. Well, listen, Brother Yeshua, a lot of chatting in the chat room. No question directed at you, though. Nobody right now has their hand up on the phone lines again. So I take it everybody is enjoying what you're saying, digesting it, chewing on it, or they've gotten the confirmation because they already knew this. So I just want to again thank you, my brother. I really appreciate you coming on. And I do want to ask a quick question to Brother Gavri. I'm going to put him on the spot. He's the guy that was... did a little, hold on a second. He did a little intro of the feast days before you did. And y'all on the same page about when the dates are. So, Brother Gabriel, I know you just chilling, listening, but I want to bring you on real quick and ask you, what did you think about the, it looked like somebody just popped in the chat room here, a couple of people. I don't know how did they do that, because it's after hours. I don't know how they got in this chat room. I mean, on the phone lines. But if y'all have questions, press 1 on the phone. Speak now, forever hold your peace. All right, so Brother Gabriel, go ahead with your question. I mean, not question, but what do you think of what you heard so far? And anybody else got a question or comment, press 1.
Well, honestly, I wasn't listening totally, but I will, since it's about the feast days, to the best of my ability, I try to follow the law, that's the commandments of the Most High. So, from that part, but the few things I did, I don't even want to comment on, so I'm going to let it be. I'm just going to say, Baraka Shalom, Baraka Tom Shalom, to all those that's listening.
All right, my brother. I don't know why you got distracted, but you know you should have been listening, man, because I really wanted to hear your comment on this. You know, we oftentimes disagree. Now, you came on earlier, and you actually have the exact same dates as this brother, and that's good, because I'm not new to this, and I know that it's hard sometimes to get the brothers on the same page. So here you this time, you're on page with the brother. You weren't even halfway listening to it.
No,
that's okay.
Hey, I ain't going to go into all that. But
listen. We got to build on the things we agree on, right?
Yes, like the Bible says, how can you two be together if they agree? So you got to come to one accord on things, then build from there. It's, you know, like we can learn from one. Like you were saying, you can learn from one another. So as long as the other party willing, that's the whole key.
All right. Well, listen. I just wanted to get your take. I know earlier you came on early and said the how it was needed the feast days. I mean the observance of the Passover, and so I just want your little 2 cents. I probably shouldn't even brought you in. I know you was chilling, but anyway, let me go ahead and put you back on hold. And again, if anybody else, I see other people, but I don't know your phone numbers. I don't know who you are. This just happened to be a brother. I know his number by heart. Anybody else want to? Comment, Brother Darby, I'm going to put you on hold. And anybody else got a question or comment? And otherwise, I think we should wrap this show up. And Brother Seth can go and relax and do some rest, and maybe this tooth. It's done pretty good, though, Brother Yeshua. I'm telling you, it's been off and on the whole show, but it's been pretty good. It could get worse.
I definitely just want to thank you for inviting me on and everything and just being a great host and, you know, just invite me on. And I enjoyed myself, and we had, a lively discussion here, and definitely was good. I think a lot of good comments, a lot of good questions and everything, and hopefully the people was edified through, you know, some more understanding of the Passover and actually when it falls. So definitely just wanted to thank you for inviting me on. Very much.
Well, again, I thank you for receiving, and I just miss the Bible studies we used to have. And like I said, the feast days that are coming up, I think we'll just probably re-invite you to come on and explain those. Not that I can't, but I like sometimes letting other folks, you know, come in, share, and make it.
Yeah, I would love to come on and do that. That would be great.
Yeah, well, listen. Let me go ahead and just wrap up the show and get some rest. Thank everybody for listening. I really, really thank y'all for listening, stopping by, supporting this show. Remember, this is a celebration. Yes, we're eating unleavened bread, but it's a celebration. It's the time for us to remember how the Most High brought us out of Egypt and have made us a nation. So anyway, good night, Brother Yeshua. Good night to you, and I will talk to you later. And I want to say good night to everybody else, okay?
All right. Shalom, shalom.
All right. Shalom, shalom. All right. We're going to go out with I Want It All Back. We're taking back our culture, taking back our language, taking back everything that belonged to Israel. Good night. I love every single one of y'all. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Come on.